Hello, it's Friday once again, and that means our podcast, the Zogby Report, Real and Unscripted. This is where I, John Zogby, pollster and pundit at times, and my son Jeremy, my business partner, son, pollster and pundit at times, we each take a look from our own vantage points about the week that we just passed. Before we move on, this is our 33rd edition, and we hope you're loving it and hope you're sharing it with others. And a special shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Miller, Ryan's mom and dad, our wonderful producer. He's behaving himself. If you don't see him very much, just want you to know he's doing well. But I know my son's doing well because he's on the other side of the phone. How are you?
Morning. I am doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well also. Shall we jump right in again?
Just go right into it.
Yeah. This is politics this week, right? You know, there's still major trends that are out there, and boy, are we going to get into them in next week and future weeks. But this week belongs to the political campaign, and it was a big one. And so let me do a few minutes on my take. You know, essentially, Democratic National Convention, the kind of situation that none of us has ever been before. Imagine trying to produce this entire thing, pulling it off, making it interesting, and at the same time uniting the party and setting the table for the presidential race. My view, honestly, is that the producers pulled it off. I think the party has emerged unified. That's not always an easy thing to do, but I think for the most part, progressives are in the fold. For the most part, moderate Republicans, who in many ways have not had a political party or a political candidate they can be proud of, have emerged with someone who, even if they don't believe in Joe Biden, at least they can support Joe Biden. And independents, mainstream Democrats, got a chance to see who their nominees are, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I know, especially in the case of Joe Biden, he emerged doing what he needed to do. Now, what did he need to do? Number one, he needed to show that he was up for the job. Very simply, for those who would charge otherwise, he was forceful. He was articulate. He was empathic. He was strong. In fact, in many ways, it's the old Joe Biden that most of us have come to know all these years. In addition to that, he gave an indication that the principles that he stands on and the kind of president he will be will be something that people across the aisle, across the spectrum, can identify with, from Bernie Sanders to John Kasich. And then thirdly, the big job was to draw a contrast between him and Donald Trump, the current incumbent, and to show how and why he will be different. The line of the week, of course, I believe, was that he will be a president for light and not a president for darkness, the better angels of our nature versus the worst angels of our nature. For my part, I thought he did just fine, and he came in with a substantial lead of an average of about 8 percentage points. I suspect he'll get a couple of bumps. As I've said many times before, the era of the big bump is over. When all is said and done, I think he set the table quite well for himself. How do you see it?
You know, I can't really disagree too much. Although I'm going to have to find something to play the devil's advocate just so we can take this conversation deeper. But what I saw in his speech last night was definitely the theme of unity, but a well balanced with defining where the president has taken us down the wrong path. And to be able to take those two opposing themes of unity and division, but blend them together well is difficult, but he did that just perfectly. Although to play the devil's advocate, I have to bring up 2 nights ago, AOC's little speech. It was about 90 seconds in which, I don't know if I'm hearing things incorrectly, but it almost sounded like an endorsement for Bernie Sanders, and there was no mention of Joe Biden. So Biden's speech by last night shows that it makes the appearance of unity in the party. It was beautifully crafted and laid out, and wasn't too much attacking. It was just enough in defining President Donald Trump without going overboard. But you can't help but forget AOC's delivery, in which she doesn't even mention Joe Biden. So, I mean, what's your take on that? How will they go into the next week or two and still maintain the appearance and of unity in the party when really it looks like the party may not be unified? What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And of course, the mainstream news media, not simply the conservative news media, have jumped all over that. I think that AOC explained herself well. She said, look, I was given 90 seconds to structurally do one thing, and that is to place Bernie Sanders' name into nomination. She said, I did that. There wasn't much time or space to be devoted to anything else, and so I fulfilled my role. If you go down through history of challengers who've been nominated, even the longer-winded nomination speeches for those challengers hardly ever, if ever, mentioned the name of the candidate who was about to be nominated. The specific role is to place the name of the challenger into nomination. So she charges, and I think with some merit, that that argument just doesn't hold water. Secondly, I don't think Bernie Sanders, and for that matter, Elizabeth Warren, you know, the de facto actually leaders of the progressive movement, could have been more clear on where they want their supporters to go and where they will go. This is a battle over whatever forces you want to identify. The real risk is for those progressives who may not like Joe Biden or may not like the way Bernie Sanders was treated or the progressives were treated. Where are they going to go? And do they want to be blamed? Do they want to be blamed for defeating or allowing Donald Trump to win? So I think this is much ado about nothing with AOC.
Yeah, and I want to let the listeners know that after next week, after the RNC, we're going to go into the field with a new set of questions that are going to take us up to probably 2 weeks before the election. We'll be putting out a lot of news releases, of course, the intelligentsia. I'm going to get into some of those questions because I think they're really going to get at the heart of where we stand. But speaking of the RNC, what are you looking, what are you expecting that the president, when he gets to do his big speech, how he will approach it, what the themes will be, what will the themes be of the convention in general? What should we look to see?
Well, I'm thinking of what we know about Donald Trump to date. On the positive side, go back to any one of his State of the Union messages, and what you will see is in his view, a record of accomplishment, criminal justice reform, you know, particularly in terms of incarceration for marijuana, in terms of actually, and he will say this, having done more for African Americans than any other president. He will talk about up until COVID, putting more African Americans and Hispanic Americans to work during his administration than any other administration in history. You will see then him touting a record that he will, if not outright say, at least imply, was sandbagged because of coronavirus. But on the negative side, I think he finds himself in a position, he's on the ropes, and maybe he's comfortable on the ropes, but he is dependent on two things. One is he has to crush Joe Biden. America likes Joe Biden. His polling numbers have gone up. He's ahead in some polls by double digits. Donald Trump's going to have to go after him and at the very least try to prevent some people who are leaning towards Biden from showing up to vote in November. So he'll be raising a lot of questions about Biden. But the other thing is that he's forced to be dependent on external events over which he has no control. So will there be a beginnings of an economic recovery? I don't know, but that's not something that he can directly influence. Will there be a vaccine? Right now, his biggest vulnerability, aside from his personality and his tweets and that sense of division and meanness, you know, the president's claim to fame is negative campaigning, snarky campaigning. Will that be enough to chip away at the goodwill that's having been built up in the last year for Joe Biden? But I think that's what you're going to hear. I don't think you're going to hear a message of unity. And I think it's going to be very difficult for him to talk about keeping America great again, when the obvious antidote to that, as the Democrats will say, as they have, we're not projecting greatness on a number of fronts anymore.
And what about what got him elected back in 2016, which was it drained the swamp, the anti-elite, the firebrand populism? No doubt about it, that's what got his popularity to soar and really held on to his base to date. But do you have any expectation that any bit of that theme will be played out? It doesn't seem to date that that messaging, I shouldn't say to date, as of recently, that hasn't been drilled as much as it was. Although I guess you could just say his actions and the way he tweets in general encapsulates that theme. But just outright saying it during the convention, what could we hear from that notion of firebrand populism and anti-elite that he used so frequently in 2016, 17, and 18?
I'm glad you asked that, because I think you'll also see Donald Trump as victim next week. And that's in many ways how he thrives on the scene. You see what they're doing to me? They impeached me. And how far did they get? It was laughable. More than that, it was tragic. They impeached me. Look at the constant conspiracies against me. He will speak to his 41%, which he consistently gets. But his problem always is going to be, how does he get that additional 6 or 7%? There's only two ways to do it. You know, one is some sort of major coup on issues that really matter to the American people. That would be the economy, the coronavirus. And the other issue is to ensure that Joe Biden is really not worth voting for. But in terms of Donald Trump, I think you'll see that draining the swamp metaphor again, even though the Democrats can come up with a very powerful antidote to that, which is, of course, look at the swamp that he's created.
Yeah. And to go back to the debates with Hillary, and the one trick that he used in, I think it was the first or the second debate, was when he brought Jenny Flowers and Paula Jones to mm-hmm. the debate, you know, basically signaling to the Clintons, hey, I'm willing to go down the rabbit hole if you want to keep talking about the infamous recorded chatter, the quote unquote locker room chatter that America got to hear. I wonder, it's a part of his personality to do those kind of things, to do things that are shock and awe, that are bold. Will he do that? To me, it seems as though with 41% in the polls, and as you say, consistently, he is against the ropes. He needs more of a boost. So what is it that he's going to do to bring that shock and awe element to get, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 or 7% of the vote? There may not be an answer to it. We may just have to wait and see, but just pondering the possibilities.
I think if we just go back this week, running good campaign strategy means when you are running against someone, don't simply look at their weaknesses and hammer at those. Look at their strengths and try to cut those off if you can. And so I think, and on the flip side, when you're running, take your own weaknesses and try to neutralize those. That's why you saw Hunter Biden very prominently featured as a family man, as someone who's been troubled. But that backstory is, if Joe Biden lost his young wife and baby daughter, Hunter Biden has lost his mother, his baby sister, and then his older brother, Bo. Making what Trump has referred to as a real negative and corruption about Biden into a Hunter Biden who is who's been a victim in many ways. So I think that Trump this time finds himself with a much different sort of opponent. People couldn't get to know Hillary Clinton. She never really told her story well. The Biden family is all about stories, and it's not about stories that are conjured up for a campaign. Those who've been following Joe Biden for 50 years have heard these stories and have known about him. And he's still, in this hyper-partisan political culture that we have, he obviously has his detractors. But by and large, he's a sympathetic character, and that's going to be a whole lot different than running against Hillary Clinton.
And is there any final word on the debates? By my view, it seems to have gone back and forth, but is there a date as to when there will be the first?
Yeah, late September will be the first debate. There'll be three, unless things change between now and then. And they'll all be important. They have been very important. But, first of all, you have two older men that shoot from the hip. In the past, the debates have mattered a lot because the press will focus on, scrutinize gaffes that are made. And there have been plenty of them over the years. But these are both guys that seem to get away with their gaffes. And so I don't know that will be a problem. But I think you see Joe Biden stutter, or you see Joe Biden tail off or forget the next sentence. I think the press will be all over him, and that could raise some questions. Nonetheless, I think Donald Trump runs a real risk. He's going to have to go after Joe Biden, but if he gets too personal, the way he went after Jeb Bush, for example, or Marco Rubio or Carly Fiorina, remember, Joe Biden is a well-known, well-liked character, and it's hard to attack somebody that the rest of the country thinks pretty highly of.
And so I'm going to talk about some of the questions that we have, I should say concepts, because we haven't formulated them or formatted them into the exact questions yet, but some of the concepts that we have come up with that we think are really going to get to the heart of where the American people stand. And again, this is these questions are going to field after the RNC, and we will be releasing news releases, intelligence here reports. But I'm very excited about these questions. I'm just going to rattle some off in no particular order. And Dad, and when I'm done, if there are any other ones that you want to chime in with, please do so. But are Americans, where do they stand on our two-party system? Is it functioning? Is it healthy? Or do we need something different? I'm going to hammer that out. What about the platforms for each party? Do the likely voters, the Democratic likely voters, do they expect the Biden and Harris ticket, or do they want the Biden Harris ticket to go more moderate or to go more progressive? And then, you know, the opposite for the likely Republican voters, although it wouldn't be progressive, it would be populist, firebrand populist. Do we need a constitutional convention? Is it time for America to have another constitutional convention? Where do Americans stand on the notion of universal basic income? Andrew Yang really drove that home and brought that to the forefront. And then, you know, months later, with the COVID-19 and 30 to 40 million Americans out of work, this is something that is going to be talked about more and more on the Democratic side. Where does the country as a whole stand on that? Should there be masks mandated at the federal level? Here's one that I think is nobody else is asking, and I hope that there aren't other pollsters that are listening to this, because I don't want them to steal this. But let's assume that Joe Biden has cognitive decline. Let's assume that Donald Trump is mentally unfit. Who would you vote for? I think that would be very revealing. And then one that this has always been kind of signature Zogby question regarding shopping or how you get your information, but updating it to the year 2020. We're going to look at which shows are popular among Americans that they stream, whether it's through Netflix or whether it's through Amazon. And then we're going to look at the network news and the network TV or shows, and cross-tabulate that with some of the earlier questions to see the political leanings in terms of, you know, which shows people are watching on streaming platforms or networks, and how the political affiliation breaks down. And then that's about it. Anything else that you have that you'd like to throw in there to look forward to?
There will be, but you know, at the moment, my interest, chief interest, always has been the intersection of society and culture with our political system. Going deeper than, oh, I think I'll vote for A or B, or I don't know, I don't like his mustache, or whatever. Incidentally, that's what folks said about Thomas Dewey. No, I like getting at what are those basic values that people hold sacrosanct, and how are those specific values tweaked at any given moment? And remember, they can go one way or another. And I would only end my comments by saying, and I'm very much looking forward to putting this polling together with you and getting a look at the results and sharing them. But I'm, particularly interested in whether the Democrats connected with empathy and with basic values of fairness? Do Americans believe that Joe Biden is a good person? I actually think that they do. And I will say this, and this is a point of controversy for the week. At this moment in time, I think this is Joe Biden's race to lose. He could very well. I don't think it's likely, but he could very well lose. And we have 74 more days to go, and let's see if he can hold on. Let's see what Trump can do. Remember, Trump did almost the impossible last time.
I would just add to that, you know, with that famous saying in history, remember the 5th of November. Well, I'm talking about remember the surprise in October. So I'm still expecting there to be an October surprise. There almost always is. I'm just trying to get my finger on the pulse as to what that could be. I don't know yet, but we ultimately will know. But as soon as I have an idea what it could be, I'll share it. But until then, we'll hear from you next week.
Yeah, and whatever it'll be, it won't be a surprise to you, right? Because you'll know it. All right, this is fun again, okay? Take care, and have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week with some fresh polling information.